All right, there it is there. There it is there. Get ready to get started here. Learning More Chronicles. I am a Learning More who is chronicling his experiences within this realm, within this existence. Hello, everybody. I'm Bobby Day, otherwise known as Brother Dolph. Some of you know me. I've gone by other names as well, either officially or unofficially. I want to wish everyone a good day. From broadcasting from my little modest, humble abode, my broadcast center here. Just here to talk today, maybe in general, maybe specifically, about a myriad of topics, things that's going on around us in society. I am coming to you through YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I don't get paid by anything. This is my own effort, other than those of you who have been so kind to extend a donation, which I definitely appreciate, because this stuff is starting to really cost money. Anyway, I digress. I love doing it, and I'm doing this because I've been told and guided to do this. Anyway, let me give you an idea of the format. It's pretty much open discussion, open platform, just going over a myriad of topics. I have a guest that will be appearing with me today in a little while, I think within an hour or so. So this is pretty much an open door, because I'm going to do this twice a week, 11 in the morning Central Time. And I'm going to go from 11 in the morning, anywhere between 11 in the morning up to about, I don't know, early evening, because I have that kind of time. I'm blessed and I'm fortunate beyond measure. So I'm here starting up, and you have to excuse me if I make modifications along the way, because I'm kind of in what they call an audiophile. But if you happen to hear anything as far as the quality, if I'm not coming to you adequately, would you please drop me a comment and let me know? Don't keep me in the dark. I want to have a good quality broadcast today. And I pride myself at being able to do that. You'll see on the right-hand side of the window, top of the window, right-hand corner, there is a QR code. That QR code is tied into my Linktree account that has all of my, well, projects, I'll say. I'll say projects because these are things that I'm working on. They're actually endeavors. Endeavors. I don't necessarily like to call them projects. I don't want for people to think that this is some kind of hobby that a retiree is involved in. However, that is the truth, Ruth. So we're going to get started here right now. Why don't we just jump into it? And what I wanted to do was play an excerpt, or maybe the whole thing, of something I ran across earlier having to do with vizines, if you know what I mean. The Jabberinskys, whatever. There are those of you who are out there that seem to think that it's okay to get jabbed on, is that it's okay to be sheep. That's on you. That's on you, because your body, your choice, your circumstances. We all have our own decisions we need to make based on whatever it is you might be facing. And just a reminder, it's still not mandatorily imposed. Just saying. So I'm not here to knock anybody who's gotten jabbed up. I'm not necessarily here to say that. Well, I'll let you know, I'm not jabbed and I am not getting jabbed. You'll take away something with you if you lay your hands on me. That's facts. It's not a threat. It's a promise. Anyway, with that being said, y'all, I wish everybody health and prosperity and good wealth, what have you, whatever that is. And if you're feeling as good as I am right now, you'll understand. So let me go ahead and play this excerpt or this whole thing from, believe it or not, from Fox News. I personally derive information. I get information from various sources. You have to, in order to make a comprehensive decision on most things in life. Okay. Or else you're going to be left in the dark. I formerly used to listen to a social media contributor, whatever you want to call him, a public figure that used to come down on this particular journalist. Well, they're not really any journalist anyway, but corporate news facilitator, whatever you want to call him. I don't know. Newscaster. He used to come down on this guy, this newscaster named Tucker Carlson. I never really watched Tucker Carlson that much. I never really followed him that tough. Okay. But I've heard other people have objectionable things to say about him. And we know the reputation of Fox News in that. But I've been a lifelong Democrat, to be honest with you. And there are some points of view in more recent years that I've seen that's led me to believe that, well, obviously Democrats ain't really done anything. But again, I digress. So what I'm not doing is not permitting for people to tell me who not to listen to. Because information can come from various sources. And then you do due diligence and you ascertain and decipher and discern what most applies to you. And I got that from even before my career that I'm always going to mention because it was such a dynamic experience. But I got that from doing preliminary investigations as a first responder. You think I wanted to stand there and be in a hoarder's house and talk to somebody that was stuck in their own waste, sitting in their own waste? Do you think I wanted to stand there and talk to them and interview them? Do you think I wanted to interview people that victimized people? No. But you have to speak to people. You have to get information from sources that aren't necessarily palatable at the time to reach a given conclusion. And that conclusion is what? That conclusion is what? The truth. The truth. Whatever guides you to the truth, it's best to just take advantage of the information that's out there before you. Because sometimes you have to look on both sides of a situation in order to reach a determination. So let me get off my soapbox. I didn't mean to get all whatever way I got, but let me play this for you. And it's about it's recent. It just came up. And I also want to talk about something else too. I'll get into it in a minute. Let me play this.
Awful lot about the coronavirus vaccine over the last several months. It's a massive achievement as a scientific matter, something all Americans can be proud of, but that's not the context in which we've heard about it. Joe Biden's first speech to the country urged the entire population to take this vaccine immediately. The celebrity industrial complex has reinforced that demand ever since. Get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. Okay, we will, we're not against it on principle. Like almost every American, we're grateful for vaccines. But before we take this one, a few questions about it, about this specific vaccine. There are two things we'd like to know, and neither one has anything to do with how many professional athletes or Netflix stars have been vaccinated so far. We don't care. It's irrelevant. Here's what is relevant. The first question, is the vaccine safe? The second question, is it effective? Safe and effective. That is all that matters. So let's address those questions in order tonight. From the moment the first shipments arrived in the U.S., we were assured that this was the safest vaccine science has ever produced. The risks of taking it were so small that we could ignore them completely. Quote, the worst thing that could happen, explained one medical expert on ABC News, is having an allergic reaction. Clinical trials, they said, revealed no evidence at all that the vaccines could cause any life-threatening condition. In February, an infectious disease researcher at the University of Rochester called Dr. Angela Branch explained that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was especially safe. The bottom line, Branch said, is that nobody who has gotten these vaccines has died from COVID. Sure, as far as we know, that remains true. That vaccine does not cause COVID. But that was hardly the bottom line or the end of the story. In fact, we now know that there are people who have become gravely ill from taking that vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Some patients who received it developed complex and still poorly understood immune system responses. Their bodies suddenly stopped developing adequate blood platelets. This led to bleeding and dangerous clotting. According to the FDA, at least six young women experienced this response to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. One of them, a 45-year-old woman in Virginia, died of a stroke last month, 2 weeks rather, after getting the vaccine.
Come on, man. Come on. You mean to tell me you still want to go out there and get jabbed? Come on.
Another woman who apparently lives in Nebraska is in critical condition in the hospital tonight. That's pretty much the extent of what we know. The government hasn't told us more. So what does this mean exactly? How significant is it? Well, if it happened to you or someone you loved, it would, of course, be highly significant. But here's the context statistically. About 7 million Americans have received the Johnson & Johnson shot so far. We know of six who have developed a blood clotting disorder as a result. By comparison, for some context, some versions of the birth control pill are believed to cause blood clots in about 1 out of every 1,000 women. That's a far higher rate. So why the concern about this vaccine? Well, because there are reasons to believe those, in fact, are not the real numbers. The real numbers may be much higher than that. Why do we think that? Well, this morning, federal health authorities, including the FDA and the CDC, called on state governments to stop administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. According to no less than Tony Fauci, this ban could be permanent.
Are you ruling out the possibility that the vaccine could be removed from the market? I mean, are you ruling out that, are you expecting it to be reallowed?
You know, I think it would be premature to comment on that. And that's the reason why the pause was done, so that they could take a good look at it very carefully, look at every different factor. I wouldn't want to speculate as to what would happen.
Notice the caginess there. It's premature. I wouldn't want to speculate, says a man who speculates for a living. In the statement you just saw, Tony Fauci is asking us to believe something that's amazing if you think about it. For months, he and the rest of the public health establishment have been badgering the country to take a vaccine they claim is absolutely perfectly safe. That's what they told us until yesterday. Now, Fauci has declared that because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has injured six people, and if that's true, by the way, it would make that vaccine much safer, not simply than birth control pills, but much safer than many other vaccines we've distributed in the past. Because this one vaccine has hurt six people out of 7 million, we need to stop using it immediately. Does that make sense to you? No, it really doesn't. It seems possible there may be more going on here. It is possible, in fact, that this vaccine is more dangerous than they're indicating it is.
You
think? And federal authorities today appeared to acknowledge that. They noted that it's easy for physicians to miss the connection between the vaccine and the blood disorder it can cause. That may be happening. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is structured very much like the AstraZeneca vaccine, which also uses DNA technology. Across Europe, the AstraZeneca vaccine has been linked to blood clotting at a rate of approximately 1 in 100,000 patients. Several people have died from it. And that's why a number of advanced countries, including the UK, Denmark, Canada, Germany, the Philippines, have limited or banned the use of the AstraZeneca shot. So the authorities in this country believe the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been causing reactions at a similar rate. We don't know the answer to that because they have not told us. We do know that the way this country keeps track of Americans who are hurt by vaccines, something called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, is notoriously inaccurate. Ask any physician. But no one seems in a hurry to improve it. Our public health bureaucracy doesn't seem that anxious to know all of the details. In January, the New York Times reported that an obstetrician in Miami Beach called Gregory Michael had died of a brain hemorrhage just days after taking another vaccine, the one made by Pfizer. There seemed to be a potential connection between that shot and his death. At the time, the authorities at CDC said they were investigating Dr. Gregory's death. Yet so far, they've issued no update on it. Now, sometimes this stuff takes time to work out. And the fact they haven't issued a report does not prove that they are hiding something. On the other hand, it does seem a little weird, given that right now the federal government is encouraging the entire population of America to take the vaccine immediately. You'd think fully understanding the potential side effects would be an urgent top priority, but it's clearly not an urgent top priority. In its story about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this morning, Axios reported that the Biden administration is worried that halting distribution of the shot might encourage, quote, vaccine hesitancy. In other words, don't tell them it's dangerous, they might not take it. That doesn't reassure anyone. All of which leads to the second essential question. Is the vaccine effective? Does it work? Well, of course it works, and that's why they're giving it to the entire population. That's why this vaccine rollout is more important than the moonshot, because it works. The president himself told us that. The funny thing is, if you listen carefully, they're not really saying that anymore. They're not really telling you how effective it is. They're telling you the opposite. Here's the new director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, speaking yesterday about the vaccine. Watch this.
So when you have an acute situation, extraordinary number of cases like we have in Michigan, the answer is not necessarily to give vaccine. In fact, we know that the vaccine will have a delayed response. The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down.
Oh, now they're telling us the vaccine has a delayed response. Okay, delayed by how long? They don't say. They do tell us we have to shut things down, just like we did last year before we had a vaccine. But now we have a vaccine, so why are we shutting them down again? What is going on here? We're not sure. We do know what you just heard is not science. There's a lot of evidence that flatly contradicts what the CDC director just told you. For example, in early March, Texas ended its lockdowns and its mask mandates completely. The governor of California, looking over at the state to which his whole population is moving, called this move absolutely reckless. Vanity Fair, which believe it or not was once a magazine, published a story with the headline, "Republican Governors Celebrate COVID Anniversary with Bold Plan to Kill Another Half Million Americans."
And that's facts. I'll tell you what, I can attest to the fact of moving to Texas. I've been here 10 years so far. And there's been a great influx of those that are moving here that are from California, of all places, which is, you know, it's, they're building, there's construction everywhere, and there's still space. And, yeah, the other aspect of this thing, though, with, you know, you got people out there that are really, I don't know, they're creating issues walking into some of these businesses, because these businesses are, they're just not Texas-owned. A lot of these are nationwide chains, and they're enforcing, you know, people to wear masks and stuff like that. So you can see, we're seeing a lot of skirmishes and stuff and a lot of situations. A woman got arrested. I believe she got arrested yesterday for not masking up. And well, it wasn't necessarily for not masking up. It was the ensuing reaction where she actually pushed a store employee. So I feel for these store employees that are out here, you know, trying to make a buck. And, you know, they basically just say, hey, you know, basically I have to follow the rules.
Tony Fauci, who apparently still reads Vanity Fair, he's the only one, agreed. Quote, "It's just inexplicable why you would want to pull back now." Inexplicable? Well, here's an explanation. We have a vaccine. Isn't that the point of the vaccine? So we can pull back now and get back to normal life? Whatever, shut up. An epidemiologist called Whitney Robinson jumped in immediately to back Fauci up. Quote, "I feel genuinely sad. There are people who are going to get sick and die because of avoidable infections they get in the next few weeks. It's demoralizing." Over at CDC, Rochelle Walensky pleaded for Americans to ignore the promised effects of the vaccines they are now required to get. "Please hear me clearly," she wrote. "At this level of cases with variants spreading, we stand to completely lose the hard-earned ground we have gained. I'm really worried about reports that more states are pulling back the exact public health measures we've recommended to protect people from COVID-19, end quote. Which, by the way, are not helping demonstrably. That's why we got the vaccine, which is going to fix everything, but it didn't. What is going on here? And what happened next, more to the point? What did the data tell us? Well, in Texas, the state's hospitalization rate and seven-day rate of COVID infections did not rise. They dropped to record lows. You're seeing the data on your screen right now. Cases have continued to plummet in Texas over the last month. They're down around 30%.
That's true.
Texas now ranks in the bottom 10 of all 50 states in coronavirus cases. Daily deaths have dropped substantially.
It's crazy.
So Tony Fauci was asked, someone finally asked him, how did this happen? How do you explain this? He couldn't explain it.
Nope.
"I'm not really quite sure," Fauci said. "It could be they're doing things outdoors." Well, maybe. Maybe they got vaccinated. Wasn't that the point? But Fauci didn't suggest that. He didn't even hint that the vaccine might have worked. And that's odd. Does that tell us that Tony Fauci believes the vaccine is ineffective? He seems to think that. Here he is telling you that once you get the vaccine, you are still not allowed to eat or drink indoors at restaurants. Your life can't really change at all.
Eating and drinking indoors in restaurants and bars, is that okay now?
No, it's still not okay for the simple reason that the level of infection, the dynamics of infection in the community are still really disturbingly high. And if you are vaccinated, please remember that you still have to be careful and not get involved in crowded situations, particularly indoors where people are not wearing masks.
That's all we expected at all to hear. But the CDC has affirmed that Fauci is right. According to the CDC's new guidance, once you've been vaccinated, you still cannot, quote, attend medium or large gatherings. The federal health authorities also recommend that you continue to wear your mask when you go outside. How long will this continue? Well, according to Yahoo News, experts say it's, quote, not entirely clear when it will be considered okay for people who are fully vaccinated to stop wearing masks. At some point, no one's asking this, but everyone should be, what is this about? If vaccines work, why are vaccinated people still banned from living normal lives? Honestly, what's the answer to that? It doesn't make any sense at all. If the vaccine is effective, there is no reason for people who have received the vaccine to wear masks or avoid physical contact. But maybe it doesn't work, and they're simply not telling you that. Well, you hate to think that, especially if you've gotten two shots. But what's the other potential explanation? We can't think of one. We know the Prime Minister of Canada has decided, after thinking about it a lot, that vaccines just don't work. And we know that because he said it out loud. Watch this.
I think it's really important that we work from facts and understanding of the science around things. We know, for example, that the UK is ahead of just about everybody else on vaccinations, and yet they maintain very strong restrictions and are facing a very serious third wave. Vaccinations on their own are not enough to keep us safe. We need to engage in the right kinds of behaviors, do things that the Conservatives aren't always good at, like wearing masks, keeping distances, and obeying public health rules.
Oh, so the leader of Canada, our closest ally, just explained on television that according to the science, the vaccine doesn't stop COVID. Well, if that's true, why are they pushing everyone to get the vaccine? It's really one or the other. Either the coronavirus shot works or it doesn't, but the shot can't be simultaneously highly effective but not restore people's lives to normal. That doesn't make sense. They don't tell you to avoid water fountains after you get the polio vaccine. They don't need to tell you that because the polio vaccine works. So there's a legitimate public health mystery here at the very heart of the most aggressive vaccination campaign in the history of the country. Now, you would think that journalists might spend a little time sorting this out for the rest of us. That's their job. Isn't that their job? It's a major important story. What's the answer? It's not their job, though. Reporters have decided that their job is to enforce the regime's rules, whatever those rules are, and no matter how often or radically those rules change. We know that because this weekend, that weird little guy on CNN demanded that Fox News produce vaccine selfies to demonstrate our obedience to the Biden administration. If you haven't seen this clip,
listen to this part. Yeah, listen to this part right here.
I think it's really important to see all these TV anchors, personalities showing themselves getting the shot. We've seen a lot of vaccine selfies from lots of folks at lots of different networks. It's been really inspiring to see. Why do you think we haven't seen the biggest stars on Fox News get vaccinated or show us their vaccine selfies?
Where are your vaccine selfies, he said. You got to watch the whole thing. Everyone's doing it. He said, all the kids are doing it. The Today Show did it. Why aren't you doing it? It's hilarious. If the Biden administration announced tomorrow that 350 million Americans had to get microchips implanted in their ears to slow the spread of COVID, CNN would demand microchip selfies to prove you got one. We've heard.
So yeah. Y'all voted for him. Y'all voted for him. Talking about Joe. Good old Joe. Far be it for me to get political. I'm not a political sort. Not at all. I am apolitical. Yeah, I said I was a lifelong Democrat. Nope. That experience got ruined for me. No, sir. Both wings on the same snake or both wings on the same bird. I heard somebody say something about both veins. Yeah, same veins of the same snake. You know what I mean? So anyhow, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, well, yeah. I mean, if you're using common sense and logic, this whole thing is just a whole, it's a scam. I mean, we've seen the videos. I don't expect for people to peruse the news feeds as much as I do. If you do, maybe some of you peruse the news feeds more than I do. I don't know. But there's a woman that was on there. She I just can describe her as she was wearing a hoodie, a red hoodie, and she was actually streaming from her car. And it looked like she got walloped upside the head. Like she was at the bad end of a bar fight. I mean, I'm not making light of her. I'm looking at it, and I was shocked. And I don't get shocked. I actually don't. I don't get shocked. I'm sure y'all have seen it out there. Come on, please tell me you have. I'm sure you've seen this woman. She did a video. She was sitting in her car. But what was amazing to me was how calm she was about it. She apparently works in the health industry, or has worked in the health industry. Never had a flu shot. Never felt she needed it. And for the record, I can't even remember when I had the flu shot. I know I had it when I was in the military. I probably got it maybe one other time because I worked in public service. You know, I was exposed to public service. I even tell you what shot that I had that came at the end of being bitten by a human being. It's the same properties as a well-known Hall of Fame NBA basketball player has gotten, and who's still living. You ain't lived until you had to face that experience, and you had no choice at that time because of what you were confronted with. Again, it's about circumstances. It's about circumstances. And I'm not going to tell anybody to do anything. The information is out there. We have to, each and every one of us needs to make our own decisions for ourselves, because it's our own bodies. It's based on prevalent circumstances. My spouse is an educator. We run in separate circles. She's making her own decision for herself. I'm not getting jabbed. I've made that clear. She's not either. And so far, again, it hasn't been mandatorily imposed. There hasn't been talks. You know, I'm a father, so our son participates. He's a student athlete in high school. So there hasn't been any mandate with them either. Because, you know, they follow a certain protocol. The school isn't as populated as it normally is. I mean, this is not a normal circumstance, y'all. It's not. It's still not. Things are not normal by a stretch, by a long shot. Only people that are out there that are behaving with as if things are normal are those that have money or good credit. But I don't know. I don't even think there's going to be a real return to normal. This is an entire reset, but I don't really want to sound that provocative or far less controversial, because those are things I want to reserve for myself without any real tangible proof. You know, there's a lot going on around me that I'm paying attention to. Again, I'm actually considering buying a power generator real soon, because the power authority, which I've always hated that title for these capitalist zealots, but this power authority here in Texas, the other day it was sunny. It was about 80 degrees around here, right? So on the local news, guess what they said? They said that we were possibly running low on reserves. And here we are, 2 months away from summer. From summer on the calendar anyway, because it gets deathly hot here around September, August and September. So they're playing the game again. They're saying that they're incapable of maintaining the power grid. So basically, my mindset is to stand by. But this time, I like to think I'm going to be somewhat ready. I'm going to be more ready than I was during Snowmageddon a couple months back. So another item that I ran across was that's I can really relate to. And I'll spare you from playing the audio on that. I'll just read it out because I know that was kind of lengthy, that first segment. I'm not killing time or anything. But basically, the story goes like this. State Supreme Court ruling reinstates former Buffalo police officer Carryall Horn's pension, including back pay. That's something that I know about personally. As a matter of fact, I might even post the link to the, I don't know, it's public information. I might even post the link to my case that I went through a number of years ago. And essentially, in a nutshell, I actually turned the system against itself, because what they tried to say was that I had utilized unnecessary force during the situation, and it was found that I had not. I did what I was trained to do. But this situation was different with involving this officer here in Buffalo. But before I get into that much further, I'm actually going to take a bit of a break here. It's right at the half hour mark. I'm going to take 10 and I'll be right back. I promise you, I'll be right back. I'm not stalling, but I've been drinking a lot of water lately, y'all. So I'll be right back. Okay. Hang on. I'm only coming back in 10 minutes.
We'll be right back. The
Welcome back to the Learning More Chronicles, Learning More Chronicles, Learning More Chronicles. Your host, Bobby Day, here today on another glorious overcast afternoon. Well, I was going to read, actually, I'm going to look into this right here, this issue where there was a female, black former police officer, Buffalo, New York. The judge overturned the ruling after they were fired. Basically, it's here's how the headline reads. New York judge reverses firing of officer who fought colleague over chokehold. So I'm going to read through it here, but just as a summation, I believe what likely happened is that they intervened during the course in which there was force being used. And this officer stepped in and intervened, seeing something wrong. She intervened, but subsequently at that time got fired. A judge in New York has overturned the firing of a long-serving black former police officer who fought with a white colleague as he placed a suspect in a chokehold. State Supreme Court Dennis Ward praised Cariol. This is Cariol, C-A-R-I-O-L, Cariol. Cariol Horn's intervention during the 2006 incident, which led to her dismissal by the city of Buffalo 2 years later, and a lengthy legal fight for compensation. In an 11-page ruling, Ward pointed to the deaths of black men during confrontations with law enforcement, including George Floyd and Eric Garner, and the role played by other officers in attendance. Absolutely. Recent events in the national news, including the death last year in the city of Minneapolis of George Floyd, who died from unreasonable physical force being applied for over 9 minutes, have sparked national outrage over the use of this practice, Ward wrote. During the testimony yesterday, however, court testimony in the George Floyd case or the George Floyd murder. But I digress. What's the guy's name? I forget. Derek Chauvin. In that case, I guess they had a witness that said that the cause of death had to do with what was in his system and a defect with his heart. Having the body weight of a grown man on your neck while you're handcuffed is, whatever. I don't mean to discount it, but it's ridiculous, this whole trial thing. But they've wrapped up today, and hopefully they'll deliberate accordingly. One of the issues in all these cases is the role of the officers at the scene, and particularly their complicity in failing to intervene to save a life of a person to whom such unreasonable physical force is being applied. And I can tell you firsthand, yeah, that it is acceptable. It is acceptable for you to intervene. If you see a situation getting out of hand, you possibly see tempers flaring, which aren't, it's not supposed to happen if you're a professional, right? But we're human. They're human, supposedly human. But they're so blinded, I won't say all and every, but in situations are so blinded in their convictions to, and in some cases, to inflict pain and injury. But I digress. I'll leave that alone. The ruling to reinstate the former officer's pension, back pay, and other benefits, Ward said, was based partly on the city of Buffalo's 2020 adoption of Cariel's Law, which obliges law enforcement officers to intervene if a colleague uses excessive force. To her credit, Officer Horn did not merely stand by, but instead sought to intervene despite the penalty she ultimately paid for doing so. Horn said she tried to prevent fellow officer Greg, and I'm going to have a hard time with this one, Kiwatowski, from placing a suspect in a chokehold during a domestic violence arrest. That officer was cleared during an internal investigation by Buffalo police, but Horn was found to have breached policy and ordered a 4-day suspension, which she rejected. Well, she stood her ground. Cool. In 2008, an arbitrator found her guilty of 11 charges, and she was fired with 19 years service credit, one short of the 20 for a full state pension. Horn, who will not return to her old job, and I am so glad to see that. That bears repeating. Horn, who will not return to her old job, which is the smart thing to do, trust me, has been a vocal supporter of Black Lives Matter movement and is campaigning for Cariel's Law, which also provides protections for officers who report wrongdoing by colleagues, to be adopted nationally. My vindication comes at a 15-year cost. What has been gained could not be measured, she said in a statement issued by her attorney. I never wanted another police officer to go through what I had gone through for doing the right thing. Horn's lawyer, Ronald Sullivan, said in the statement, she saved a life that day, and history will now record her for the hero she is. Well, my situation being a bit different, however similar in result, as I was able in my matter to receive back pay, no residual discipline, and return back to work in good standing. And it was only a few months until from stem to stern. But I was restored. It restored my position, restored me financially somewhat. However, when I went back to work, I started noticing certain things. I started having, you know, and some of this was probably brought up on myself. I felt a particular kind of way, right? I felt that I was somewhat of a marked man, more so than I already was, because there aren't really many of us, especially at that time as well, that are in this line of work. We're not in this profession. We weren't in this profession. It was rare and uncommon to see us. Definitely was for me. I mean, for a span of about 10 years, I was the only melanated on field patrol for a number of years where I worked at the time in Southern California. And it was a dicey proposition, let me tell you. I mean, you know, I made it through. You know, I made it through, and I was able to sustain myself, but I always knew, especially after prevailing in my matter, that I knew it was time to go. I knew it was time for me to go. I knew it was time for me to exit and do something else. And I wasn't planning on being there forever anyway. However, yeah, my situation resulted in a way that I felt concerned for my well-being. Not necessarily like every single day, but there were some considerations I had in terms of, you know, personal safety. You know, there are times that you know, I wondered if, you know, I'd be receiving problems or not receiving backup for situations I'd be involved in during the course of work. That always kind of hung over my head a little bit. It really did. I mean, not so much before, you know, the matter that I had to address, which is, you know, was public information, by the way. It's available publicly. Just have to find it. You know, because it starts out with being one of the only African-American law enforcement officers in that area at the time. That's how the wording was, as far as the outcome of the case. So that, and actually having your name on federal paperwork, I mean, I'm talking about court case paperwork. Those are eye openers. Led me to start looking and thinking about other work, other ways to, you know, maintain a livelihood, maintain a living, maintain a standard of living anyway. So let's see here. I actually have a guest that's still coming on, and they're actually going to be tapping in about 10 minutes. And I'll introduce them when we get closer to the time, but I want to make sure that everything's squared away and whatnot. So I need to take care of a few things here real quick. Excuse me, but I'm still staying on the air real quick, but I need to message my guest back. All right. So, yeah. So I had my experience. You know, I was able to successfully separate from, you know, the organization and actually wind up retiring myself. So, and I'm living that life, not really by a long shot as far as balling or anything like that. I'm just basically able to sustain myself. Here we go. Let me look at this right here. All right. Addressing the Dante Wright shooting. And, well, I'm not going to really get into it too deep other than share my experiences associated with carrying tasers or other less than lethal weapons on your gear belt. I actually left the organization that I served with as they were issuing what's known as the X26 taser weapon, Taser by Taser International, I believe it was at the time the name of the company. And they were yellow and shaped like a small toy pistol. And I had gotten some preliminary training because of they were going to be issued department wide, which meant that everybody had to be, you know, trained not only from chalk talk in the classroom, but you actually had to do practical training as well. Therefore, you know, you were actually instructed on where to stow it, where to holster it, along with other considerations regarding, you know, presenting it during a situation, when to use it, the limitations, etc. Similar to what it was like to carry pepper spray, otherwise known as OC. Somewhat similar to carrying a baton. Basically, your baton was on your weak side. Your so-called less than lethal weapons were on your weak side, such as the case with the taser. The taser is considered a less than lethal force option. Now, I'm not going to get into the aspect as far as, you know, did she mean to kill him? I'm you know, and I'm not automatically on the side of them. I just know from experience myself, having lived it, of what it's like in certain situations that are fluid And you have to make that kind of judgment when it comes to applying force and having to use it. Because I've used it myself. In actuality, there's a use of force continuum. The continuum, I'm not sure now, because it's been over 10 years since I actually worked. You know, I left over 10 years ago. And I think there are a lot of elements that are the same. I haven't researched it in time for, you know, to go on here and talk about it. But a use of force continuum basically is this: from command presence, even before that is the distinctively marked patrol vehicle. You're in uniform, you're in a distinctively marked patrol vehicle. That is considered command presence. That's the first step. I believe the next step has to do with verbal demands or verbal, not necessarily requests or anything like that, but verbal demands, verbal commands. Then is firm grip. That's when it goes hands-on. Then after firm grip, you resort to your so-called less than lethal options, impact weapons. It could be, as a response, it could be using, I won't say pain compliance, but it could be using, wrist control techniques, different physical techniques to gain compliance. And in some cases, it involves inflicting some measure of pain. And the ultimate, going right up to the top, the ultimate, of course, is deadly force by firearm. I won't go into the chokehold aspect of it because it depends on department policies. Some department policies differ. Of course, you know, those of us that have grown up in the Los Angeles area know about the chokehold all too well, or the bar arm or what have you. However, it used to be called the carotid, I forget the specific name. But the agency that I worked with, we actually were authorized to use a neck restraint. I believe it was called a carotid or vascular neck restraint. We were authorized to do that only in circumstances where that was equivalent to deadly force. Like if you were in a knockdown ground fight or what have you and had no way of subduing the adversary, then you could resort to that. You could resort to what is popularly referred to as a chokehold. Now, in this case, associated with the unfortunate tragedy that involved a young father, Dante Wright, I watched the video several times. And it seemed to me, of course, things got really out of hand really quick within a short window of time. And this is just my opinion. My opinion is that, and it's far too late now because it's not going to really change the thing. Of course, it's not going to, you know, I'm not, no. There was an issue of the cover officer, because there's a methodology associated with doing this type of work, that type of work, where you have a cover and a contact officer. What is supposed to happen is that the contact officer is the one that makes the contact of the individual. They're the ones that do the talking. They're the ones that are supposed to dictate the situation and how it's going to go. They have the primary interaction with the subject that they're dealing with. And that can change. Just for example, if a particular individual did not want to speak to the contact officer per se, you could switch it up. If they didn't feel relatable to the primary officer, they could talk to the other officer. But more specifically, though, with this situation, I saw that just went off the rails so fast. There was tunnel vision to go along with the ineptitude that I saw. They still had a piece, there's a piece of paper that she had in her left hand, which was, I believe her offhand that she would have utilized to withdraw the taser device from the left side of her body in that holster. She didn't do that because it wasn't because of malice or that she intended to kill the guy. And I'm not on the side of just saying that, you know, automatically, oh, she didn't mean it or whatever. I'm not saying that. And I'm not by default saying that they were right, because I've always been against poor tactics.
Bolster your immune system. Help alleviate stress. Take in those minerals and vitamins that you really need. Nutrients like vitamin B, omega fatty acids 3, 6, and 9, and many more nutrients. More Beauty now offers hemp seed oil. We all know that health is wealth. We must do all we can to maintain it. More Beauty offers 100% hemp seed oil. A natural option. Hemp seed oil. Available from More Beauty. Order yours today from theembassyofthemoors.org. Theembassyofthemoors.org.